This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark and Wong Shaning. It's 7:37 a.m. Friday, the 8th of May. And as far as we know, actually, the last day that we'll be starting our talk time at 7:30. Because when we come back next week on Tuesday, after the public holiday on Monday, it'll be the last day of the MCO and we'll be returning to our normal 6 o'clock start time.
Yeah, back to the crazy hours of the morning run, right? I did enjoy getting up a little bit later, but alas, that's the end of it. Well, everyone's beginning to get back to work. I definitely see a lot more traffic on the roads, more cars. I even went grocery shopping on Friday, and in this particular mall, I would say almost 80% of the shops are already open, and there was some activity. People were buying. I'm just wondering whether, you know, in terms of sales, I don't presume it's 100%, or what. It's probably not even 50%, but you do see some activity.
Yeah, at least for me, the biggest indicator that people are really coming back to work is that people are starting to double park my car again. So now I know that there are a lot more people in the region of our office. So tune in next week from 6 o'clock in the morning. If you're heading back to work, we'll be keeping you company from 6 to 10 as per usual starting Tuesday. But today we're still on our MCO timing, and nevertheless, 8 o'clock we'll be having the Breakfast Grill, where I'll be speaking with Maria Chin Abdullah, Member of Parliament for Petaling Jaya, because one of the biggest issues surrounding the pandemic here is getting food to the needy. Since the MCO has been implemented, the government's initiative to distribute food packages via the Social Welfare Department has been met with criticism and some confusion. So we're going to be talking a little bit about that later on the Breakfast Grill with YB Maria Chin Abdullah, as well as discussing what's happening in her constituency and how the people of PJ have been working together to take care of each other in these difficult times. But right now, we have the newspapers in front of us, and the New Straits Times headline is Orderly Exodus, because apparently Gerak Malaysia started yesterday with stranded Malaysians making their way home nationwide across 4 days. So an estimated 300,000 cars are expected on the road.
But there wasn't this fear jam, I think. I think initially there was concern that, you know, we'll be back to our old ways. And, you know, the highways are going to be completely jam-packed, mm-hmm. like a festival, like a Hari Raya or Eve of Chinese New Year. But I think the traffic has been so far okay. I think PLUS has initiated some safety measures. They have closed all the food stalls and the surrounds, although the washrooms are still available. I mean, the idea is social distancing, right? I mean, mm-hmm. or physical distancing, as they call it now. But in the Malaysian Reserve, the headline is, did Malaysia's economy escape contraction in 1Q20? So the country is expected to post a marginal growth of 0.8%. On a solid February figure, says an analyst. But guess what? It doesn't really matter, if you ask me. Because, everyone knows it's going to be tough times ahead, right? So the real question is, what is Q2 going to look like? What is Q3 going to look like? And the bigger question, when is recovery going to happen? And what kind of recovery are we going to have? Is it, you know, I doubt it's going to be V-shaped, more likely mm-hmm. to be U-shaped, swoosh-shaped. You've got all sorts of shapes.
Swoosh-shaped?
Swoosh, you know,
like swoosh, like the Nike swoosh.
Yeah, like the Nike swoosh.
A little check mark.
Yeah, a little check mark. We don't know, but I don't think V-shape is happening at this moment. I mean, it's a global recession. Every economy is facing some sort of headwinds.
Yeah. I also have the Star in front of me, and their headline is MCO cools off, politics hots up. And this is talking about the flurry of political maneuvers that we're starting to see as the MCO comes to an end, including talk of a no-confidence bid against Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin. And we're going to be talking a bit about that in just a little while. So if I flip open the Star, the second page is entirely politics, so is the third page. And it just goes to show that really, you know, even though this pandemic has brought the country to an economic standstill, people still have time for politics, and politics is still happening despite the fact that there are calls for politics to take a back seat, particularly when the emphasis should be on ensuring that everyone receives the benefits that have been given by the government to help people come through this movement control order relatively unscathed. And I say relatively because I don't think you can come out entirely unscathed. And it's to ensure that, you know, people, that the needy get food. It's needy. It's that to ensure that people, that the poor receive essential items when bazaars are closed, when a lot of when perhaps their only access is to restaurants that are outside of their budget. It's a tough time for everyone, and yet politics does not stop.
Never does. And buried in page 9 of the Malaysian Reserve is the Federation of Malaysian Manufacturers urging the government not to backtrack on the implementation and enforcement of Section 17A of the Malaysian Anti-Corruption Commission Amendment Act 2018. Now, this act is supposed to come into force on June 1st. And what it does, it's a good act. It provides for strict corporate liability on commercial organisations for failure to prevent corruption. Now, this was passed in Parliament on April 5th in 2018, gazetted in May 5th that same year. Now, there have been calls for the implementation date to be pushed back by a year to June 1st, 2021, in view of COVID-19 pandemic. But I agree with FMM. Why do we need to push this back? Just because we have COVID-19, right? If anything, you need to make sure that everything done is above board, that there's absolutely no hint of corruption at this current juncture. Why should it matter whether you have a pandemic or not?
Absolutely. It should be, you know, to ensure that corruption doesn't happen should be of paramount importance, particularly when the country is strapped, particularly when every dollar counts in a time like this.
And it's not just because this one is directed at companies, right? Companies also must be whiter than white. Why should there be different standards for companies and governments, or when we are faced with one crisis or when we are not faced with another crisis? Corruption all round is bad at all times. And no one should take advantage of a situation.
Absolutely. And I also have the Malay Mail open in front of me. Their lead story is demand still high for food delivery riders, even under the CMCO, as most still prefer using online delivery service. Have you been, you know, since you went grocery shopping recently, Xiaoning, and went to a mall, did you see people dining in?
There were very, very few shops which had which allowed diners in. And then you had to write a book, and I noticed that the tables were very spaced apart. So yes, but there weren't that many, although yesterday when I went for a walk, I did see one very famous nasi kandar. They had allowed diners, and the tables were sufficiently spread apart. And guess what? Every table was taken.
Really?
Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe people really want their nasi kandar. But very quickly, Singapore Straits Times, Shannon Teo, their bureau chief, headline, Malaysia's PM, Muhyiddin facing mutiny by allies.
All right.
Politics is, as usual, still brewing.
Politics not dead at all. And we're going to be coming back to take a look at that story in more detail after these few messages. So be sure to stay tuned. BFM 89.9. This is The Morning Run with Lynn and Xiaoning. 7:47 a.m. Friday the 8th of May, and today we're taking a look at a figure who has resurfaced after a conspicuously long time quiet. Tun Dr. Mahathir has apparently informed Dewan Rakyat Speaker Tan Sri Datuk Muhammad Arif of his intention to call a motion of no confidence against Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin. So this is a source story from the Malaysian Insight that says the former Prime Minister's letter to the Dewan Rakyat Speaker was cited. It's dated May 4th, and this thus fulfilling the 14-day criteria before the parliamentary sitting on May 18th.
Yeah, with this motion, Tunem, who is the Langkawi MP, wants to show that Muhyiddin doesn't enjoy majority support among lawmakers. Now, of course, this is a Malaysian Insight story, and they are waiting for confirmation from the Speaker's office and Tun M's on the motion. Now, Tun M's letter to our Speaker follows one by the Sampurna MP and, of course, Sabah Chief Minister Datuk Muhammad Shafi Abdal, dated May 1st. Okay, so Shafi Abdal was first to do it, seeking a motion to show that the 94-year-old state announcement had majority support. So in this letter, Shafi sought permission from the Speaker for motion and resolution on the matter when Parliament does meet for that one day on May 18. However, our Speaker Tan Sri Arif rejected the Shafi's notice for motion, saying it's unconstitutional to question the power of the Yang Dipertuan Agong in appointing the PM.
So this the upcoming single day parliamentary sitting on May 18th is supposed to be for the new Perikatan Nasional Administration to discuss matters and legislation related to the COVID-19 pandemic and the government's stimulus package. It would of course also be the first as for Tan Sri Muhyiddin as Prime Minister since he was sworn in on March 1st. But I think there are a lot of question marks over what's going to happen now that this talk of a no-confidence motion is being bandied about, because I'm not sure what would be the process exactly here, but I understand that, I know that in the UK, if there is a no-confidence motion put forward, customarily it would take precedence over every other item on the agenda for Parliament, because it's obviously the most important thing, right? You know, rather than sit through a government talking about what the measures that it's been introducing, if there are questions over that government's support, then that would have to be first on the list.
Well, in the first place, you would assume that you could even sit for longer than a day, right? I mean, aside from this, question of whether you're going to allow for this no confidence bill, with all the technology out there in the world, and I saw pictures of Sabah State. Actually, they met. Despite the social distancing. So you could see all the different MPs sitting far away from each other. And they had their little state meeting. I mean, they could do it. With technology, I don't see why you can't do it. Well, who knows? I mean, in UK, they did manage to succeed, right? They did meet via Zoom or I'm not sure, one of those new ways, video conferencing, webinars, whatever you want to call it.
But of course, this has been raised, I'm sure, multiple times to our government, and yet the decision has still gone ahead to continue the parliamentary sitting for only a single day. So one hopes that if this no confidence motion is not allowed, if this May 18th parliamentary sitting is only to discuss the COVID-19 pandemic, that we will have a full parliamentary sitting before much longer, because it's really no use. I mean, we were talking, I think, to Lim Wei Jet, who's a constitutional lawyer, a little bit about this a couple of weeks ago when the announcement of a single day was first mooted. And he pointed out that, you know, this, yes, you're fulfilling the letter of the law, but you're violating the spirit of it.
Yeah, you're not giving the legislature the full respect it should have, right? Because every other aspect of the government is running, right? We are not saying that because of COVID-19, things are not functioning. In fact, they are still functioning. So the legislature should also continue to function.
The inter-party politics, or intra-party politics, element of it is quite interesting too, because Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad is still in Bersatu and he has retained the chairmanship unchallenged. So Tan Sri Muhyiddin is meanwhile set to battle it out with Tan Sri Mukris Mahathir in the next party polls for the presidency.
Which has been delayed due to COVID-19 also. It sounds like COVID-19 is, I wonder whether sometimes it feels like a good excuse.
So I think that's why some of the headlines are talking about how this challenge to Tan Sri Muhyiddin is really coming from purported allies, because it's coming from effectively within his own party.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of, I would say, background noise, right? Mm-hmm. In terms of what's happening at Bersatu itself, right? Because, you have Bersatu Information Chief Dr. Rafizi Jidin saying that party has no intention of returning to Pakatan Harapan. Now, this came on the back of a statement released by Bersatu Youth rejecting cooperation with UMNO and calling for a return to Pakatan Harapan's coalition. Now, their statement claims that this was the majority decision following the meeting between its exco members, state leaders and Tun M regarding the future direction of the party. But then their information chief denies this and said that the party never discussed the matter. So, you know, you seem to have conflicting noises coming from within Bersatu itself, right? What is happening there? What's happening to the party?
Even just within Bersatu's youth arm, because in a conflicting statement, the Armada did put out a report that said that 144 out of 191 of its divisions support the Perikatan Nasional Coalition and are against the plan put forward by within Bersatu Youth itself to rejoin Pakatan Harapan. So I don't know what's going to happen at this rate. It honestly looks like Bersatu is heading for a split.
Yeah, and I think even within, what is interesting, if you take a lens and you look a little bit wider, right? You know, what's really interesting is also within PN, the mm-hmm. politics within the different groups, that is also still brewing in the background. Some people take the signs that some of the states controlled by, let's say, UMNO, did not want to participate or did not open in accordance to the, you know, what came out from Tan Sri Muhyiddin's speech about the CMCO, right? Mm-hmm. They decided okay, we will implement our own schedule. Was that signs of trying to kind of say, oh, we are a little bit independent, you know, we have our own way. So who knows? There's lots of political wrangling, I think, clearly behind the scenes, and something which is echoed by, like I said earlier, an interesting article in the Singapore Straits Times about this, you know, that Muhyiddin's allies, you know, may not be really his allies after all.
But speaking of political wrangling, there is a lot of political wrangling also happening on the international stage because top Chinese and US trade negotiators are set to speak as soon as next week on progress in implementing a Phase 1 deal. And this was after President Donald Trump threatened to terminate the agreement if Beijing wasn't adhering to its terms. Sources told Bloomberg that Chinese Vice Premier Liu He will be on the call and that the US will be represented by Robert Lighthizer. So this is going to be the first time that Liu and Lighthizer speak officially about the agreement since it was signed in January. And honestly, when I first read this article, I thought that we were reading an old article from January because, you know, the talk about the Phase 1 trade deal, it seems like it's been forever since we last spoke about it.
Well, guess what? History repeats itself, right? And, you know, I think this trade war is just going to be the normal rhetoric for the longest time, as long as President Trump is in the White House. So, you know, if he gets reelected for a second term, there'll be US-China trade war phase 2, phase 3, phase 4, phase 5. Every time he, you know, maybe he's not facing such a wonderful time on in his polls, he kind of, you know, will whip out this wild card and go down, you know, and use it to his advantage. And it's honestly, to me, a distraction. You know, how much does it achieve? And especially now when you're facing a global recession, you need the two largest economies in the world to cooperate, not fight with each other.
But see, the question is really whether or not this is a distraction from the problems that he's facing at home. The question is whether or not this distraction will work and whether it'll work in his favor to win him support. Because, you know, if your concern is living hand to mouth, if your concern is very immediate, you know, your job, your how much money you're going to get from the crop that you are going to be selling, your concern is less about the global economy as it is about your own rice bowl.
I suppose so. Yes, your needs become very immediate, right?
And the U.S. government under President Trump has painted China as the main antagonist for all of this, right? Because prior to the start of COVID-19, the entire period of the US-China trade war was characterized by Trump saying, this is all China's fault.
Yeah, but I don't know how long he can continue to use that argument when you have, I think, the first signs, well, the, you know, a private report coming out that's to say that there's close to 30 over million US citizens unemployed, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, can you solely blame China for something like that?
I wouldn't put past anything.
Well, I think Trump will try, but even him, you know, I think he's trying to get a development, trying to get things going. So, you know, he suggested that a development was on the horizon. And that's what he told reporters at the White House on Wednesday, that he'll be able to report in the next week or two if he is happy with how the trade deal is progressing. And, you know, according to that, because China has agreed to buy an additional $200 billion in U.S. goods and services over 2 years compared to the 2017 levels. And the purchases so far have behind the pace needed to reach that target of the first year's $76 billion increase. I think everybody is like, you know, if you ask me, you've got these benchmarks or hurdles that, you know, China has to buy X amount of goods. But with global supply chains disrupted and their own slowdown, I don't know whether how hard and, you know, how hard and fast you want these hurdle rates to be achieved at that particular time, right? But what's worrying is generally the relations between US and China have somewhat deteriorated, especially since America became one of the country's hardest hit by the coronavirus. And, you know, now his latest pet project is, you know, it all comes from that secret lab in Wuhan, right? That's where the disease comes from. So refocus, reshift that whole coronavirus from trying to get your numbers down, trying to get your test kits up, trying to get the US medical system ready for any second, third, fourth wave. No. Let's focus on who brought this deadly disease, which is like, I don't know, is that really so important at this current juncture? Not to say you shouldn't have that discussion, but what's the priority?
The priority should be moving forward. The priority should be preserving as many lives as possible during this time of a pandemic. But it looks like a lot of that will have to remain to be seen. We'll be watching the trade negotiations ourselves very closely and bringing you updates as we get them ourselves. But right now we are heading into the 8 o'clock news bulletin. And after that, the breakfast grill, where I'll be speaking with Maria Chin Abdullah, Member of Parliament for Petaling Jaya, about some of the issues surrounding food aid distribution and issues within her constituency. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.